And welcome back to the Pylon. I'm Josh Rapan, hosting today in lieu of Jay DeCoster. I'm joined alongside by my main man, Jason Kendall, and our mock draft aficionado, Jack David.
I'm not your main man.
You're my main man, too. It's okay, Jack. Okay. My fault. My main man, again, Jack David.
Do you
feel better now?
Main men. Yes, I feel much better. It's a great kind of rainy Friday on East Lansing campus. We are here. We're going to do another mock. We're excited. Love mock drafts, obviously. We all are big aficionados, if you will, but yeah.
How are you doing today, Jason?
I'm great. A lot to get into today. I love mock drafts. I did a 2-round mock with trades yesterday, so I was trying to prep myself for Pylon. I'm ready to get into it.
Oh, yeah, and before we get into the mock drafts, we have some big news coming in a couple days ago. Stephon Diggs, no longer a Buffalo Bill, heading down south to Houston, traded to the Texans for a second rounder, and Houston in return gets Diggs, a sixth rounder, and a fifth rounder as well. Texans also will eat the contract for the last 3 years of the deal, so he will be a free agent after this year. What are your thoughts, and what does this mean for the Bills and Josh Allen?
I think it kind of cements that in such a strong wide receiver class, you can draft not one, but potentially two wide receivers to open this draft for Brandon Bean and the Buffalo Bills. But I love this deal for Houston. I love this deal for both teams. I just find it very funny that a fan on, I believe it was Twitter, said to Stephon Diggs, "What are you without Josh Allen can play without you?" And he said, "Are you sure?" And then got traded the next day. I think that's hilarious.
Well, I'm sure he knew at that point that he was going to get traded. I think he was being shopped for weeks at this point. Honestly, I do not get this trade for the Bills. I mean, I know that Diggs wanted to get out, and in terms of maybe locker room, maybe you say chemistry, like it's probably improved now that Stephon Diggs is out of there, but you look at that wide receiver room now and it's gutted.
I mean, you only have Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakur.
That's pretty much it.
And what I really don't get about it is that this is a team with just so many holes on it, like on both sides of the ball. Now you have
They had to gut their secondary as well. So
that's what I was about to say. He's got to hit this draft on the button.
A large amount of needs to fill on this team, for a team that was in the playoff hunt last year. Well, they're in the playoffs. I mean, it's taking like two steps back here. For the Texans, I mean, they are now one of two, maybe one of one real contenders to possibly take down the Chiefs this year. I mean, their wide receiver room, you looked at it before and you like it with Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Noah Brown.
Then
you add Diggs and it just makes it all the more better. CJ Stroud is going to have a historic year two, if I had to guess. But
hammer those MVP odds, all I'm saying.
Yeah, he's probably, I'm not sure what they are now. He has to be.
I mean, I think he's got to be up there. I'm going to go check right now.
Yeah, this is really fun move, unexpected. I mean, maybe I'm not so surprised that Diggs got traded.
I think it was more to who he got
traded. Because there were some teams that you could think maybe wanted
a trade. Chargers or someone like that.
I believe he was getting shopped everywhere. Everywhere was available besides the Chiefs, which is understandable. The Chiefs, you know, they can go draft a guy. You don't need to give a wide receiver to, you know, the two-time reigning Super Bowl champions. But, this is going to be really fun. Really changes, again, keeps loading up the AFC. It'll be a fun time.
Yeah. And by the way, just touching that, CJ Stroud is now the third highest MVP odds.
Behind who?
Behind Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes at plus 1,000.
Really? Behind Joe Burrow? I'm kind of surprised by that.
Well, Burrow's going to win comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
I think so.
He throws 8 touchdowns, he wins comeback player of the year.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. I mean, just in my opinion, Diggs had a good season to start off last year. But towards the end of the second half, he sort of tapered down. And he is in his 30s, so I understand where you're coming from the Texan side. You know, you take a shot on a one-year deal. You get a star for your, future MVP-level quarterback. And you just help him as much as you can. I mean, that's what you got to do for a young quarterback. You get him stars. You get him the best help he can be. And you even see that in Chicago as well, getting Keenan Allen and DJ Moore for whoever they draft at number one.
Caleb Williams.
We don't know yet.
He only took one visit.
You never know, man.
You know where he's going.
Yeah. I love this move for the Bills. Not because I think Stephon Diggs is a bad player by any means. He's on the wrong side of 30. I think he's starting to become a little bit overrated in the hierarchy of these elite wide receivers. There's, I would say, 7-8 guys at least I would take over Stephon Diggs right now. But I also think that it was kind of time that it wasn't working out. Stephon Diggs does have a bit of a large personality. I don't think that was really meshing with what Bean and Sean McDermott, and I would even say Josh Allen, really wanted.
I mean, it's
like he's still
so
a top
many top receivers in the league have these, like you said, Jason, quote unquote, big personalities. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. We have a big personality at wide receiver. Doesn't mean I don't want him. It's just kind of something you have to deal with because that's just kind of comes with the territory and comes with the position.
When haven't the Steelers had a big personality
receiver?
It's
been a long time. We've had Antonio, Martavis Bryant, Claypool, Pickens now. Deontay was to an extent. Juju. Yeah. So it just kind of comes with, I mean, a lot of great receivers like that.
I think you need that type of attitude though, if you're going to be a good receiver.
It's like, I want you to think that you're the best player on the field because you're playing one of the most important positions on the field. So
exactly.
Yeah, I also really like this move for Stephon Diggs himself. Like, you're right saying that he is on the right side, the wrong side of 30, and that he is aging and he is deteriorating. He gets to be a part of a really strong core. He doesn't have to be a part of a core with, what was it, Gabe Davis, Khalil Shakir last year. Like,
Gabe Davis.
A relatively weak core. Now he's going to one of the strongest cores now.
Maybe the strongest core.
So, I mean, you'd have to ask him if he's maybe cool with not being the absolute guy there in Houston, but he doesn't have to be the absolute guy, and he can, you know, fall back into maybe his deteriorating play a little bit and still be a big contributor. He doesn't have to be the only one being thrown the ball. So, yeah.
I like that point. He's on the wrong side of 30. You got two young stud wide receivers in Nico Collins and Tank Dell. He doesn't have to command, I would say, 120 targets in a season.
Exactly.
He's like, past that point in his career now. He did that a couple times in Buffalo, a lot of times in Minnesota. So
I love what this will do for CJ Stroud, though. He's a star in the making.
He's a star right now.
Yeah, he's not a star in him. He's a superstar right now.
Superstar in the making. Yeah, can't believe people said in that draft that Bryce Young would be better than him.
I mean, I could see it. I mean, there was like, I think, in my opinion, people were like 60-40 on taking Bryce over Stroud. I think most people had Young as the consensus number one, and it's a lot of obviously, you know, hindsight now, knowing how good CJ Stroud is, and also Bryce's situation. And speaking of Diggs, a huge trade for the Titans, and the guy who's probably going to cover Diggs two times this year, legit Snead from the Chiefs, was traded to the Titans a while back ago. We didn't really touch on it on the pylon. To the Titans for a third rounder and a seventh round swap. What are your guys' thoughts on this trade?
The Titans are having a crazy offseason. They're just throwing money at anyone that wants to come. This is obviously the best move. They didn't have to give up a lot. None of the teams that, you know, could have possibly traded for Snead weren't going to have to give up a lot because they had to pay him. But he's one of the top eight corners in the league.
He's top five.
Yeah, he's way up there. Inside, outside versatility. He'll play outside in Tennessee. He can line up next to Chidobe Awuzie as well. I mean, this is a good move for Tennessee. I definitely don't know how I feel about how Tennessee is going to be next year because I wasn't high on them before all the moves, and I don't love all the moves. Like, I like the Legarius Sneed move, but it's really going to be Will Levis' year because they are building around Will Levis to see if he's going to work, which is, you know, what you need to do with young quarterbacks. But, yeah, this is Tennessee has just been kind of perplexing with everything they're doing, but this was one of the good moves they did.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Jack here. I love this move for the Chiefs. I mean, not Chiefs, Titans. Denard Wilson, new Titans defensive coordinator. You give him two, I would say, stud corners in Chidobe Awuzie and now Legarius Sneed. And I think this is okay for the Chiefs, too. I know they wanted to pay him. I know he's good, but I don't think he's, like, irreplaceable for the Chiefs.
No,
with the way they draft and with how strong this cornerback class is, I think that the Chiefs are gonna be in an okay spot.
They're gonna draft another guy, second, third, fourth round, and develop him like they just did with Legarius Sneed, like they did with Trent McDuffie. Fair enough, they didn't do a whole lot of developing because Trent McDuffie was a pretty polished product coming out of Washington.
First round pick.
They have Trent McDuffie, who is in kind of the same area as L'Jarius Sneed when it comes to, you know, ranking corners across the league. He's very good. Another corner with inside-outside versatility. You can make a
case who's the best defensive player in the Super Bowl.
I would say that's a pretty good case, yeah. He definitely was. So, I understand it if you're the Chiefs because you just can't pay him. It sucks to lose such a talented player, but, you know, they will find someone else.
It's just unfortunate. It was the same exact offseason. You had to pay a man like Chris Jones. I mean, it's like, obviously, you got to keep Chris Jones. You got to pay him as much money as possible. And, you know, it's pick your poison, unfortunately, for Sneed, his time in Kansas City. If it was any other year, I'm sure they would have paid him.
Yeah.
Just a bad offseason to have to pay Chris Jones. And, like, you can't keep everyone.
Exactly.
Brett Veach is going to have to allocate his resources. And I kind of think the Titans are getting aggressive. And the way they're building this team around Will Levis, like you said, Jack, and it's all going to be on him to determine if he's the guy. He showed some flashes last year.
He does have flashes, he can be the guy.
He's got the arm. It's just going to be, can he put everything else together?
Yeah, can they give him an offensive line, Joe Walt?
We'll see.
We'll get to that in a bit, but before we get into our mock draft, we're just going to go over one quick question, and that is, who are your guys' offseason winners so far before we get into the draft?
Jack, you want to kick things off right now?
My offseason winners from so far in the draft. Well, one of them I think you have to mention in terms of just the volume of moves they were making. We just talked about them, Tennessee. They did a lot to help their chances. I mean, I don't know maybe how many wins they gained from making all these moves, but they're trying. And that's, I'm sure, if you're a Tennessee fan, it's nice to see your new management, you know, trying to make moves, you know, going out there, being proactive to try to make your team better, because they were probably around 4 or 5 projected wins before all these moves, and now I'm sure they're much more. So, yeah, I have to bias, you know, I have to say the Steelers, because I really do like a lot of the moves the Steelers did. I don't think they're done either, but that's also a team for me as well.
Yeah.
And speaking of bias, I'm also going to be biased here. I'm taking my Chicago Bears as my winner. In my opinion, obviously, the Fields experiment just didn't work out or didn't run out of time. I do think if they had any other pick but the first pick this year, they probably keep Justin Fields and take Marvin Harrison. But, you know, as you get Fields for a 6th, doesn't really do much. But my big move for them was getting Keenan Allen. Obviously, you know, you're trying to help build that O-line up. And they signed some quality depth pieces at guard and center as well and upgraded that position. Because Sam Musser, let's face it, was just horrific at playing the center position. Our O-line needed help, so we got better help there. Obviously, I still think we could draft a good interior outside tackle if Joe Alt slips somehow. But you also add Keenan Allen as well to DJ Moore for a rookie quarterback. And a rookie quarterback that's probably the highest prospect to come out since Trevor Lawrence as well. Just the fact that they've set up their future of their franchise in such a good position, not just for now, but like even 2, 3, 4 years from now. And that's not to mention locking down Jalen Johnson, who's been, I think you can easily say, a top 3 corner in the league.
Yeah. Top 5.
Top but 5. Yeah. I mean, you can make a case for top 3, in my opinion.
Yeah, got to commend Ryan Poles for his efforts in Chicago. For me, I think there's a lot of teams that stand out. I want to kind of pivot to a direction that I think Josh is going to be like, why do you have to do this?
I was going to say this team too, but
I have to talk about the Green Bay Packers. They got younger. They got better. They're making their roster more explosive and more fun around Jordan Love. Going from Aaron Jones to Josh Jacobs, that's a great move. I'm a big fan of Josh Jacobs in a Matt LaFleur system where they love those running backs. I think that Josh Jacobs will flourish. As a Giants fan, I know Xavier McKinney well, and he's a stud. Losing Darnell Savage to Jacksonville and replacing him with Xavier McKinney, that's a great move. These aren't players at premium positions, but they are very, very good young talents. That's 2 24-year-olds the Packers signed the long-term deals, and I think those are great moves for a team that I think can genuinely compete for the NFC North this year. And I have to give the Falcons a bit of a shout with Kirk Cousins and Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore. They made their offense a lot more fun, too. So those are the kind of the teams that caught my eye originally in terms of offseason winners.
And with that being said, it is time that you've all been waiting for. It is mock draft time. we're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to do it war room style. We're going to discuss over each pick because we got a lot more time here today. So we won't be picking individually. We'll discuss together and have a consensus pick. So let's start it off where the draft really begins at pick number 2, because I think we all know who's going number 1.
Luke McCaffrey?
Oh, yes. Luke McCaffrey, yeah. I thought it would be J.J. McCarthy, honestly, going number 1.
Would you be mad if they took J.J. number 1?
I think I'd quit being a fan of football if they took J.J. McCarthy number 1.
A fan of football or the Bears?
Everything. I think I'd just lose all interest in life if they took J.J. number 1.
I mean, obviously, they're taking Mr. Caleb
Williams. I think it's kind of obvious. I mean,
but yeah, like, it's... There's nothing more to say about the guy that everything has been said about. His biggest... This is what I always go back to. He has a few gripes here and there on the field. When your biggest, quote-unquote, cons as a prospect is that you paint your nails and that you cried in your mother's arms after a brutal, type of game against Washington, if that's your biggest knocks, I want you on my team because that's what people gravitate to. There's nothing that they have to gravitate to on the field because there's nothing there wrong with the field. He's one of the best quarterback prospects in the last 15 years. He's up there with Trevor Lawrence and Andrew Luck. It's easy. Chicago's got to take him. That's why they moved off fields. The only visit Caleb Williams took was with Chicago. Everyone knows what's happening here.
It's the worst kept secret in the league.
Wikipedia even knew. Wikipedia yesterday, when you looked at the 2024 NFL draft Wikipedia page, it had the Bears Caleb Williams pick already filled out, but it was deleted.
I mean, they might as well. I would pay each of you guys $1 million if they didn't take Caleb.
That would be the biggest shock in NFL draft history is if they don't take Caleb because of how obvious that they're going to take Caleb.
Exactly.
Smoke screen season.
That would be the biggest smoke screen of all time if they didn't.
I would be disappointed. The Commanders would love that. But
no, of course
you
would
not.
I would absolutely hate that. Yeah. But speaking of the Commanders, they're up here at 2, and there's been a lot of rumors. Is it Drake May? Is it Jaden Daniels? It seems that people are leaning Jaden Daniels. What are your guys' thoughts? Who do you think they should go with?
How are we treating this mock? Are we treating it as a what we would do or as a predictive?
I feel like we should treat it as a predictive one.
I think we can kind of match those two.
I'm saying Drake May. If it's predictive, I'm saying Drake May.
I think it could be Jaden Daniels, though.
Like, but is it, I just like, don't see how they pass on Drake May. I understand the Jaden Daniels thing, especially since they signed Cliff Kingsbury as their OC. Like, I can see it, but my vote goes to Drake May.
I mean, I agree. It should be Drake May. There's no reason why you shouldn't take Drake May over Jaden Daniels. He's been the clear number 2 for the longest time. It's Washington, and I know that they'll somehow take a risk on Jaden Daniels. So what I believe they will do, I believe they will take Jaden Daniels. Me personally, I would just go run to the podium and take Drake May right away.
Honestly,
it's down to you, Jason.
Down to you, Jason. Yeah, no pressure.
Who I think they should take is Drake May. Who I think they will take because they are still the Washington Commanders, and I'm used to them being in the toilet seat of the NFC East. As I think they will take Jaden Daniels.
I believe that does it.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah, I think they take Jaden Daniels. I don't think they should. I think they will.
I think so.
At least
too.
In the terms just... of this mock, my opinion probably will change over the next. I would say.
I mean,
20 days.
It's just that there's so much heat with Jaden Daniels to Washington. I'm just not. And obviously, Drake May is the better prospect, I think, in all aspects except athleticism. He's a better passer. He's proven that he can get it on the field. Obviously, he didn't have a good team at UNC, so his stats fell off a bit this year compared to last year, which is always kind of a little scary when you're talking about quarterback prospects and production. But, I mean, just look at the tape. Just look at the tape, and you'll see this guy is special. He'd be first overall pick any other year, except maybe the year Trevor Lawrence and Andrew Luck were here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you put him even last year, he's going ahead of C.J. Stroud. He's going ahead of Bryce Young, and I think rather easily.
Yep. All right, so on to number 3 with New England.
Exactly.
For this, since we didn't take Drake at number 3, at number 2, I don't really see the New England trading out of the spot. In a way... I could see it in that they have a lot of holes to fill on this roster. It's one of the worst rosters in the league. They need just to add players. But you also desperately need a quarterback, and you have Drake May there, who is, I mean, it's pick three, but he is slipping. He slipped a spot. In my opinion, that's he should have went two, right?
I agree with you.
So I feel like you just have to snap him up because the roster's not ready, and he's not ready. So I feel like if you get the right guys together, they can all grow together, and Drake May would be the spearhead of that. He has a ridiculously high floor because of his tools and his arm. He just has to get some things cleared up. And I think if the New England coaching staff can, you're going to have a top 10, top 5 type of guy. And if you get the rest of the roster rounded out as well, I mean, you have a dangerous team. So
yeah,
my vote's for Drake May.
And I'm not going to disagree with that.
And, you know, I agree too. And the thing about it is, obviously, you would like to see Drake May start, but he doesn't even need to start right away because they still have Jacoby Brissett as well. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you talked about he's not ready, the roster's not ready. You don't have to play him day one.
No.
You could still have Ty a whole year to build up the roster and next year's draft as well to still maybe, you know, add some receivers either in free agency, trade, etc. Like, you have a quarterback you can trust to be a bridge quarterback in Brissett. And, like I said, people are saying they may trade out. Maybe a team wants to trade up. They have holes. If you don't, you can have the best team in the world. If you don't have a quarterback, you're not winning the Super Bowl. You're not beating Patrick Mahomes with a quarterback that's not top 10 or top 5.
You could wait on a quarterback. I guess if you really wanted to, you could just have, you just don't take a quarterback this year and you just have Jacoby Brissett as your quarterback this year and then you deal with the quarterback position last year. You're not going to be in a position where you can get a player like Drake May. You're not going to have a quarterback class as top heavy, and the top being, you know, Caleb and Drake. You're not going to have a quarterback class like that probably most likely for the next 5 years. So you just get your guy now and then deal with the roster after.
I definitely agree with you. Look at how that turned out for Houston. We were talking about Stephon Diggs earlier. Everybody thought they were the worst roster in the NFL going into last season. How'd that turn out? They won the division. They won a playoff game. They traded for Stephon Diggs, and now they're legitimate Super Bowl contenders.
And that all comes from just having a stud quarterback. And Drake May has the ability to be an absolute stud quarterback. So,
yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is a no-hit pick. Obviously, it has to be Drake May here. And that leads us to the first team that doesn't really need a quarterback. It's the Arizona Cardinals. And I know this has been a place that many people think they will trade down. Or they could just stick and pick perhaps the best receiving prospect and Marvin Harrison Jr., or even take Malik Nabers, who's been rising on people's boards as well.
I have to weigh in here. This is number 4 in this draft. I think the real player that's slipping is not Drake May. I think it's Marvin Harrison. This is the number 4 pick, and I think this is the best player in the draft, and I would say that's kind of an obvious statement. This is a must-draft player. I would say can't-miss wide receiver prospect, and he's fallen to the number 4 pick. Because of all these quarterbacks, you're getting a top shelf player, top flight player at number 4. I don't think that Monty Ossenfort for the Arizona Cardinals will pass right now.
I actually agree as well. I think in terms of just like who's the most surefire players, I think you have Joe Alt, who I think will be, you know, relatively safe pick. You know what you're getting with him. He can come in and be a star right away. And another player, like we said, is Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's the most surefire receiving prospect we've had, you know, in a long, long time. We want to talk about, you know, Caleb Williams being generational. Marvin Harrison Jr. is generational as well. Just what he can do on the field, how he can elevate a quarterback. And, you know, you put him with a quarterback like Kyler Murray as well. That's just going to be a lethal 1-2 combo, especially after losing Hopkins as well. My opinion, I just don't think you can worth getting the extra capital to pass up on a receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr.'s. Or even if you want to take a receiver like Malik Nabers as well, who'd probably be wide receiver one. He's still probably wide receiver one for some teams as well, but a wide receiver one any other draft, surefire.
I agree, and we're going to go with Marvin in this exercise. But I want to present you with the idea of something that I think Monty Ossenfort could do, and it's similar to what they did last year where they traded back and then they traded back up. They have the 27th pick as well. So if they wanted to, let's say, have Minnesota call up and say, we want, you know, assuming, you know, the top 3 quarterbacks go in whatever order in the top 3, and then JJ is there. If Minnesota really wants JJ, and they call and they say, hey, we want JJ, we're coming up to four. And they trade for four. That means Arizona would have 11, 23, and 27. You have the 27th pick to work with, and I think that you could then trade back up to, I don't know, maybe the Giants would want to trade back, or whoever. If the Giants want a quarterback and then all the quarterbacks are gone, the Giants could theoretically trade back, and then you're sitting there with probably Malik Nabers being there for you, and you still have a lot of draft capital to work with. So,
and Jack, speaking of your idea, I was just about to do that with this very next team, the Los Angeles Chargers, up next. Obviously a receiver-needed team, and I think this is the place where the Vikings would want to trade up for McCarthy.
Probably.
I think the Giants could possibly take JJ if he's there.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think this is the perfect time to do exactly what you just said. You go out, you get probably 11 and what is it?
23.
23 and maybe another second or something to trade up.
Yeah.
And you go out and you and Minnesota goes up and gets, you know, their quarterback here.
Do we all agree that this is what's going to happen?
I think it will.
I do.
So the Vikings are trading up. They're not trading up for anyone else.
Exactly. It's obviously going to be a
JJ McCarthy. All right. So we're heading to New York Giants at number six. This is actually maybe not as easy as some people think in terms of Malik Nabers is the best receiver out of the main two that are left, that being Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze. But I think Rome Odunze has a better fit when you look at the current Giants roster. Malik Nabers is a lightning in a bottle. He's an absolute burner, dynamite, explosive. I mean, love him as a player. But you look at the Giants roster, I look at Jalen Hyatt, they have some players like that. They don't really have a player like Rome Odunze. So I almost think that they should go with the Rome Odunze route. But if you just want to take the best player, you take Malik Nabers. So yeah, it's really up to what you guys are feeling.
I'm ecstatic right now. Resident New York Giants fan on the Pylon podcast. You guys all know that I love Malik Nabers. He's the guy I want the Giants to draft. But I am definitely aware of the scheme fit that Rome Odunze presents. I also am a big fan of Rome Odunze. He was another player that I'm a big fan of, that I said that if the Giants drafted, I would be absolutely elated. So I don't really have a particular preference here, but for the sake of the mock and kind of changing things up, I would like to go the Rome Odunze route.
How do you feel about that, Josh?
I mean, I think, you know, it's a win-win situation. You're getting a stud receiver no matter who you pick. It's either just, you know, like you said, what type of receiver do you want? Do you want the lightning in a bottle or the more well-rounded receiver in Rome Odunze who can really do it all? And it's, you know, you can't go wrong. And like you said, Odunze is probably the better fit. But if you want that upside, that's just that a guy who can impact the game on just one play, just get the ball in his hands. It doesn't have to be anywhere on the field, and he can take it the distance. You go out and you get Nabers here.
All right, yeah. So you're on Nabers?
I'm on Nabers.
It really goes down to how much faith they have in Jalen Hyatt. If they think Jalen Hyatt is someone that they're going to want in their, you know, top three receivers, and they think that that can be that type of guy. If they don't, you take Nabers. If you do, I think you think about Rome Odunze. But for this, are we agreeing on just taking Malik Nabers?
Yeah,
I think so. Cool
with me.
Okay.
I love Malik Nabers.
Titans are up next, and then I think this is...
We don't have to waste time.
We don't have to waste time. It's Joe Alt.
It's going to be Joe Alt.
And now here is where I think the Chargers could come back in.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Jump the Bears.
I just don't know how much Jim Harbaugh is going to want to immediately address the receiver room. I think he might want to just stick at 11 and take a tackle, because there's tackles that are going to be on the board. But there are some other teams as well that are definitely want Rome Odunze services. So
Jets, Steelers,
Colts
even.
I actually like the Chargers route. They have another first round pick that they're not going to have to give up to move three spots for a wide receiver.
If you guys want to do this, I mean, I'm cool with it.
I feel like they could do it, but I also feel like they are also like the Bills, where they have lots of holes, and they could just fill out the team because they have a quarterback.
Yeah, like it.
You could still get a receiver at 23.
If this is what I'm doing, I really like the trading back up for Rome Odunze. But if we're doing it in a predictive light, I think everyone kind of agrees. Like
Harbaugh's not the
Harbaugh's going to want to build the team differently than trading up for a receiver. So I mean, I'm cool with it. I've never really done a mock where that happened, so I think honestly it would be fun.
That's to why I do that do it too.
So,
well, let's pull the trigger. Why let's not? Pull the
trigger on that. So for this pick, for this trade, Atlanta's obviously giving up 8. The Chargers are getting up 11. They're going to keep 23, and then I would probably
37.
Like a second.
I don't. 37 might be a little too rich. I'm thinking maybe 69. They want to do 69, but
Well, they're just moving up. What?
Three spots. Just
three spots. So three I don't think. Yeah, second may be too much.
Yeah. So they're going to trade back up. And they're going to take Rome Odunze.
I am a big fan of this fit. I love Rome Odunze as a prospect. Jim Harbaugh's going to love a guy like that, and he's very familiar with him from playing against him in the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're at the Bears, and I just think this is a trade back at this point.
You think it's a trade back?
I think, you know, I think the Jets are probably going to take Bowers or a tackle. I feel like they'd take Bowers if he drops there. If there's a team that wants to like jump up and get Bowers, but like, who's going to want to trade up for a tight end?
I just don't know if there's a player on the board here that someone's going to want to trade up for.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Only Quinyon Mitchell in my eyes.
So that is true. If you really want to get a cornerback, but I feel like in a lot of times in these exercises, cornerbacks are available later in the later in the draft. Yeah. So I present someone who for a long time I loved, but was kind of under the radar for me, was kind of in the back of my head, but he's kind of coming to the forefront now. He was injured a lot of the combine process, but he's getting healthy, and I think the fact that he went to Illinois kind of hurts him in a way, but I love Jerzon Newton, and I look at your guys' roster, and
we need interior D-line.
You need an interior guy. He's the best defensive player, maybe in the draft, if you can have the conversation that he is. I would go Jerzon Newton here, and I think that's a player that the Bears would strongly consider here as well.
I think that's a great route to go for the Bears. I've mocked them Dallas Turner a lot. I've mocked them a lot of defensive line help, or Latu a lot. But I like Johnny Newton. Keep him in state of Illinois, and I think he'll thrive at Soldier Field. Give Montez Sweat on one side, Johnny Newton in the middle. That's pretty dirty, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
as the resident Bears fan, how do you feel about that?
I wouldn't mind Johnny Newton. I think, you know, you can always get an edge help, especially alongside Montez Sweat. And you look at guys, you know, obviously Turner doesn't really fit our system, but when you have a guy who's that talented, you make it work somehow. You'll find a spot for him. You also have guys like Latu, like you said, without injuries, this guy would probably go way earlier than this. I mean, he's just that good. And even a guy like Jared Verse, who, for the most part, like coming into last year, people had him mocked pretty much as the best defensive player in this draft for a long, long time. And he's just sort of fallen off a bit, a couple spots into the mid-15s. But I still think he's that level of player. I think I'd lean edge here, either Dallas Turner or Verse, honestly. But, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to getting, you know, just a game wrecker like Johnny Newton.
My vote's for Johnny Newton. Your vote is for...
I think I'd honestly probably lean Verse or Returner.
Okay.
I often mock Dallas Turner here, so I'm going to just hop on the Johnny Newton train for this, for, I would say, chaos sake.
Okay.
Yeah, well, now let's get, make this a little chaotic here today.
Okay. Now, the Jets are on the clock, and something that has become more and more chalk has been Brock Bowers to the Jets, and I think that's...
If you just take him, Rodgers needs help.
Appease Aaron Rodgers.
They don't really have a tackle like that on the roster. They have Jeremy Rucker, some other guys as well, but yeah.
I mean, you add Mike Williams, Garrett Wilson, and then you add Brock Bowers to that.
Yeah.
You were doing your best to help injured Aaron Rodgers come back strong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
For sure. Now the Falcons back up on with every single edge still on the board.
I think this is chalk Dallas Turner.
Got to be Dallas Turner. I mean, just it makes too much sense in my opinion. Unless there's another defensive player that you think
I
make a case for.
I'm not sold on Dallas Turner to the Falcons as a fit because they run a 4-3.
Okay. That is true.
So you think Latu?
No. Latu is even more of a 3-4. I would say Jared Verse for them. Because Dallas Turner, he can put his hand in the ground, but I like him, especially how athletic as he is, I like him as a stand-up guy. But Yeah, I would go for Jared Verse here, but if you guys want to go Dallas Turner, I mean, that's going to work out too. This is a pretty talented, you know, top of the edge class, so you can't really go wrong.
Again, I don't really have any issues with Dallas Turner here. I also don't have any issues with Jared Verse here. You're getting a stud edge.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to miss, like, you know, if you pass on Turner for Verse or pass on Verse for Turner, you are getting a stud defensive key piece no matter who you select. I think I'd just go with Jared Verse here just to switch things up a bit, honestly.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
Okay, Jared Verse heading to the Falcons. Number 12, Denver Broncos on the clock. Could be interesting to see what they do here because Sean Payton desperately needs to leave this draft with a quarterback, but I think this is a little too rich for my taking to take a Penix or a Nix here. So I would think about a trade back here.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Jack. I think that with both Quinyon Mitchell and Dallas Turner still on the board at this point in the draft, someone's coming up for one of those two defensive cornerstones.
I was just about to say that as well. You have potentially the chance to take the best corner in the draft in Quinyon Mitchell. Also a guy like Terrion Arnold, and, you know, you still have Dallas Turner. There are pretty much a couple corner-needy teams coming up as well. You know, maybe if you're a team picking near the 20s, maybe late teens, you want to come jump up and get the corner help you need.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one team that I think really needs a corner.
Oh, no.
Their city is hosting WrestleMania this weekend.
Their city is hosting WrestleMania this year. I have done this, and I'm on the board for Philadelphia Eagles coming.
I know Jason's not going to like this, but I think
I am not going to like this.
I think the Eagles need to trade up here and get their corner.
We're both on, yeah.
I'm on board with this. I mean, it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And Howie Roseman is the type of GM who would do this. We were talking about, like, what GMs do, and obviously we don't think that Harbaugh would be the type to trade back up, especially when he needs to build out the roster. Howie's the type to do this move, though.
For sure.
Oh, he's the type to go up and get his die.
And now that they're here, what cornerback do they take?
Quinyon Mitchell.
I think it's got to be Quinyon. I think he just...
I think Quinyon is the best corner, but I know Howie Roseman loves himself some SEC football.
That's also true. He did take Carter last year.
I'm on Quinyon as the cornerback one. I think most people are now. So we'll go with Quinyon here, but definitely do not rule out Terrion Arnold for them as well.
Yeah. I think so, too. It just makes too much sense for the Eagles to go up and make this trade.
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The Broncos can move back, add some extra draft capital, get their quarterback maybe later in the first round or maybe come back in. I think this just really opens up George Payton and Sean Payton's draft board.
Yeah.
And that leaves the Raiders up at 13. And
really have no clue what the heck the Raiders are going to do here. I don't. I almost want to just for them take a quarterback here.
I feel like it would be the most Raiders thing to do is take
just to take the quarterback. And if they do that, if you guys are what are you guys thinking about this? There's a lot of ways that they could go. A lot of players still on the board. I mean, you have Cooper DeJean, Laiatu, Latu. All of the tackles besides Joel are here.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
You still have Olu Fashanu still on the board here at pick number 14,
I feel like Olu Fashanu is a type of guy that they are going to want to target.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I feel like you just can't pass it up this late in the draft.
I'm down with Fashanu.
A guy who has top 10 pick potential. Was really a top 7 pick before this season happened.
He was
probably like the best tackle.
Top 5 guy early on, but
obviously not quite the season. He had only one bad game against Ohio State where, you know, he got torched by their DNs and D tackles. But, you know, you've seen the film on this guy last year. You know how good this guy can be. He was a former, like you said, the top 5 shoe-in for the longest time up until this year. At pick number 13, you're still able to get him, add him to this O-line. To help, you know, protect, you know, Aiden O'Connell and whoever your quarterback is if you do get one later or perhaps you trade back up and get one.
Yeah, potentially.
Or even Michael you Penix. Get one next year. You just have to. You can't pass up Olu Fashanu here.
Yeah, I was going to say this pick either has to be Olu Fashanu or Byron Murphy. And you guys both seem like you're on the Olu Fashanu train, so I will join you.
The New Orleans Saints now on the clock and... If there's any team that desperately needs a tackle,
it's
the New Orleans Saints. So it's really pick your poison with any of these guys. I mean, you have Achilles Fuaga, Troy Fontenot, J.C. Latham, Amarius Mims, a player that I do think can go in this range now because he is Thanos. Do we agree that it's going to be a tackle? I think we all agree.
I think it's got to be O-line. So we have just this
Which tackle are we leaning towards?
Troy Fontenot.
I think it could be fun. I really like Fuaga, though.
I really do like Fuaga, but I really see Fuaga as a right tackle, and they do have Ryan Ramczyk. Ryan Ramczyk is about to turn 30, though, so honestly, they could attack either way and just get the best player, and I think the best tackle here is Fuaga. So my pick would be with Fuaga.
My pick would be with Troy Fontenot. I think he's kind of more what the Saints kind of, I would say, like in their offensive linemen. He's versatile. He can play inside. He can play out. He can play left. He can play right. And I think that Mickey Loomis, with his history of how he drafts his offensive linemen, is going to love that.
Yeah.
And y'all are putting me on the spot here. And, you know, I'm just going to stick to my guns. I think it will be Fuaga. I just think, you know, he's just a mauler in the run game. Just a physical tackle. I think he'll fit in perfectly with that New Orleans culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Indianapolis Colts at 15. I think this is a very chalk pick, very easy.
Terrion Arnold.
Oh, I was going to go different Alabama player. I was going to go Dallas Turner.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're all thinking different players because I'm thinking Brian Thomas.
I was about to say that as my second choice.
I was thinking Brian Thomas too.
I really like what this team would look like if they draft Brian Thomas because they have the deep threat in Alec Pierce, but I'm not huge on Alec Pierce. So if you bring in Brian Thomas, you have Pittman as your X, you have Brian Thomas as your Z, and you have Josh Downs as your slot receiver, you are just giving all of the weapons in the world for Anthony Richardson to succeed in a division now that is getting
that's so stacked
where you gotta go after the Texans. I think you have to go get weapons. So my vote would be for Brian Thomas.
That Anthony Richardson, Brian Thomas, quarterback receiver duo would be
because he has so the arm scary. To get the ball to him is, 50 yards downfield.
They obviously could go corner because they do need corner.
They need a lot.
They need a lot on the defensive side of the football.
But, there's a lot they could do here.
Like you said, I actually now that you mentioned it, I need to see this. So I need to see Brian Thomas Jr. and Anthony Richardson on the same team, man.
Are we on Brian Thomas?
I did this
in my mock yesterday. I will do it in my mock today. I'm starting to love this fit more and more by the day.
And now the Seahawks, they need interior O-line and D-tackle as well. And they could also go corner if they need be.
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will.
I just see Troy Fontenot now staring him in the face. Exactly.
He can move to guard. He can play anywhere.
They need a tackle, a guard, and a center. Lucky for him, Troy Fontenot can play every single position on the line. So just draft him and figure out where you want to put him.
Oh, and you know the best part, Jack? He's played in Ryan Grubb's scheme before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ryan Grubb is there. Yeah,
he's their new offensive coordinator. He's the OC at Washington.
He doesn't have to move, too.
Yeah.
I think it's Fontenot here.
Troy Fontenot, yeah.
Now on to number 17, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think it's Terrion Arnold.
Exactly. You got to go. They need corner help.
Yeah.
You can make a case he could be the cornerback one.
Yeah.
He's clearly at least bare minimum CB2. You just go and you guys pick him up, man. You need secondary help.
Yep.
I agree with that.
Number 18, Cincinnati Bengals. There's a lot of good players on the board still available that they could look at.
I'm going to give a little sneaky pick here.
I have a sneaky pick here, too. They need a
D-tackle help. Why not go out and get Byron Murphy second?
Okay.
I'm going to go a different route. I think that the Arizona Cardinals might call them and try and trade up and land Dallas Turner, who is slipping down this draft board.
I do like someone trading up for Dallas Turner.
I do, too.
I do.
Because the Rams are up next, and I think they would draft.
Would the Cardinals be in the position where they want to give up capital?
I think they are.
Depends on how much they really like Dallas Turner.
Because I'm assuming you're going to have to give up 27 to jump up, what is it, 9 spots. You're probably going to have to give up, a second at least?
Yeah, they would have to give up a lot to move up nearly 10 spots. So,
and, you know, there's still other edges available. You still got Latu, Chop Robinson, Darius Robinson as well.
Yeah. Then I think they move up for an edge, but I don't think they move up this far.
Exactly. I think you still have other chances to move up for an edge mm-hmm. earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm the Bengals, obviously you could go D-tackle. And with the T. Higgins situation, you don't know. Maybe you go out, you can possibly go out and get A.D. Mitchell. Maybe a little bit early for that, but...
I don't know if it's early for A.D. Mitchell, but again, the depth of this wide receiver class is just so deep, I think that they can wait. Out of any of these guys, I look at their tackles, and I see Orlando Brown, and I see Trent Brown. Trent Brown kind of getting a... He will be 31 in 8 days. I don't love the longevity of him, so I think a guy that you bring in and you develop as your next, you know, long time tackle is Amarius Mims. So my pick here would be for Amarius Mims.
You said you wanted Byron Murphy.
I originally said Byron Murphy, but you know, let's be real. The focus of this team is Joe Burrow, and the main thing of this team, don't let Joe Burrow ever get hurt again like last year. And I kind of like the idea of what Jack said. You know, your goal is to, you know, make sure he's here as long as possible with weapons. And, you know, if he can't get the ball to Higgins or Chase, if he's hurt or if he's on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they need help on tackle. It makes sense. Amarius Mims may have the highest upside of any tackle, at least in terms of his size and strength and his just physical presence. Like you said, I mean, you compare him to Thanos. Like, I mean, if you're compared to Thanos... I think you have a pretty good chance of being a good
prospect. No one in human history carries 330 as well as Amarius Mims carries 330.
I'm fine with Mims, honestly.
Are we going with Mims here?
Yes.
I'm going with Mims, yeah.
Okay. Number 19, the Los Angeles Rams. And, I mean, what a position that they are now in at 19 because they need defensive help and –
Well, they're going to get it.
On the line.
Yeah.
They do run a 3-4, so you can look at Dallas Turner and you can look at Laia Tuilagi, but they also lost Aaron Donald, so you can look at Byron Murphy as well. So I don't know what they would do here. It depends on what player they value most, and I lean towards Dallas Turner.
I do, too.
I feel like you just can't pass up Dallas Turner at this point.
It's the 19th pick. I think he's a top 10 player in this draft.
He's top 10. You can even make his top 8 player in this draft. You just can't pass up. It's got to be him.
Dallas Turner. Now,
Pittsburgh Steelers
on the
Jack.
Board. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Does anybody want to trade back?
I kind of do with the Arizona Cardinals who want Latu. In the next one or two picks, I think the Cardinals are going to make calls to try and land Latu.
And I do that, like if they want Latu, I see the Denver Broncos at 22 as a team that is really going to consider an edge. So if you really want him, you would have to move up for him. So,
I think so too.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would, you know, necessarily would have to give up a lot to
I'll
get
like
him.
A third, honestly.
Okay. Are we all on agreement that the Cardinals are going to trade up?
I think so too.
So I think the Cardinals trade up and then they give the Steelers 66 as well.
Yeah.
I think that makes
maybe
sense.
A little more, but. All right.
If not, it's going to be like 66 in a pick swap or something.
So now the Cardinals are on the board. Are we all cool with Laia Tuilagi going?
Yes.
Here? Yes, and I think they're got a steal here at 20.
Yep. Next up, the Miami Dolphins. Cannot express to you how...
I think this is an easy pick,
this
in my
is
opinion.
Chalk.
Chalk pick. JPJ.
Yep.
Put him on. I mean, there's... But, I mean, if you want to do like a little crazy pick, Xavier Worthy is right there.
I don't know about Xavier Worthy. I definitely think going and attacking the offensive line is, you know, could be in play, but they lost Christian Wilkins.
Oh, yes, they did.
Brian Murphy is staring them right in the face. So I would personally would go the Byron Murphy route, and if not the Byron Murphy route, I would also maybe think about J.C. Latham or Graham Barton, JPJ as well. But I just don't know how important center is when you compare it to these other ones.
Exactly.
My pick would be for Byron Murphy.
Like you said, obviously they lost Christian Wilkins. Byron Murphy is just, you know, we talked about Johnny Newton earlier. Byron Murphy is almost as good as a defensive tackle prospect in this draft. He is a specimen, a freak of nature, mm-hmm. like we talked about with Amarius Mims. That would be huge. Obviously, you know, they could go tackle and protect Tua. Obviously, he's been on his blind side a lot. I do like, you know, the fact that you replace that defensive leader and you get Byron Murphy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. Byron Murphy's a stud. I watch a lot of Texas football, and I can say that he's a stud.
There you go. Byron Murphy heading to the Miami Dolphins. Number 22, the Denver Broncos. They moved back from number 12, and they are now at 22, and both the quarterbacks are still on the board. Are we in agreement that they would probably take a quarterback
here? I think at this point you can take the risk.
Which one? I lean towards Bo Nix.
I think Penix is better, but like for Denver, it's going to be Bo
Denver.
Nix.
I think Bo Nix.
Yeah. I mean, like I forgot what Sean Payton said, but he was talking about the things he looks for in a quarterback, and it literally was just Bo Nix, basically.
Pretty much. So
it's pretty much Bo Nix,
and he's going to come in and be. He's going to come in as the most experienced college quarterback ever. There's no quarterback that's coming into the league that is more experienced than Bo Nix is. So he's going to be ready to immediately, you know, go into that Denver role and try to you know, bring that team up from the ground right now. But, yeah, so Bo Nix to Denver.
Just the worst division to actually try to compete into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Speaking of the AFC West, the Chargers are up.
They drafted Roma Dunze already, I think offensive line.
They did draft Roma Dunze. You can look at the offensive line, which is really weak, and I think that's probably what they should attack. But I also do really like the idea of Cooper DeJean in LA. In terms of, they don't really have an amazing outside corner. Cooper DeJean can be that outside corner. They don't really have a slot corner. He can be that slot corner. And they also kind of need a safety. He can be that safety. So in terms of value, I think he's really good, but I also see that J.C. Latham is staring you right on at the board, and a team that is going to want to run the ball a lot and needs a right tackle, J.C. Latham is going to step in and be that right tackle. So I would probably say J.C. Latham, but I definitely think Cooper DeJean is also a really good pick here as well.
And like you said, just think of like what Harbaugh thinks. I feel like he'd take Latham right away here. I think it just makes sense. And then you're talking about your tackle duo is Latham and Slater.
Latham's last ever game as a college player was against Jim Harbaugh. So Jim Harbaugh saw this player. He did kind of see him get blown up in the Rose Bowl, but still a great player. They need a right tackle. He's your right tackle.
I think it just makes too much sense here at this point. Yep.
That's what I was going to say. I know you love Cooper DeJean, but not at this point.
Next up on the...
America's team.
The Dallas Cowboys.
No.
Back up here, they are America's team, but
did America choose this?
I don't know who chose it. I mean, I guess they. I'm not sure. I mean, America must have chose. I mean, it is their team.
They've been America's team. So
yeah,
I don't really know, but the Cowboys are now on the clock and kind of interesting with what they could do.
Obviously, you know, they did lose their starting left tackle this offseason.
They did lose their starting left tackle.
And you see a guy like Guyton available. Do you take that risk there?
Guyton is here. Yeah, that is something to think about. An idea that I want to float out there, something that I don't think they should do, but something that they could do is there is a wide receiver that played in the state of Texas. There is a wide receiver that played in the state of Texas, but I comp him to CeeDee Lamb. I think I see a lot of CeeDee Lamb and A.D. Mitchell, so maybe he doesn't head to Dallas because they have CeeDee Lamb. But I think that could be a possibility, but they have a gaping hole at right tackle, and they need someone to fill it, and I think the best tackle here is Tyler Guyton. Graham Barton here, he's listed as a tackle. He's not going to play tackle in the league. So, yeah, I'm cool with Tyler Guyton.
I was going to go a different route. You were talking about a wide receiver from Texas. I don't think it's going to be A.D. Mitchell if it's one of them. I think it's Xavier Worthy. Talk about striking fear into an opposing defense.
Can Dak Prescott throw it that far?
Yes.
Maybe, but...
Rocket to catch the ball.
So, Jason thinks Xavier Worthy. I'm on Tyler Guyton.
I'm on Tyler Guyton as well. I just think it makes too much sense with who they lost this offseason. You go out, you get a good tackle here.
Yeah, I think it is a reach to take Tyler Guyton at 24, but they just desperately need a tackle. So I think you're not, if he develops, you're not obviously going to regret taking him here. So now the Packers up on the board.
I'm going to toss out an idea here.
What's your idea?
Now, the Bills, they need corner help. And there is a corner on the board that is available in Nate Wiggins.
You think they trade up?
I think they trade up for a wide receiver.
They could do a wide receiver, but I'm not sure who would need a wide receiver that's left. Either the Packers.
Steelers are still on the board. Steelers could use A.D. Mitchell.
So, I think
it could be for either one.
I think the Bills trading up. I think that I'm down with the Bills trading up, but
it could be for either corner.
It could be from the secondary or a wide receiver. So, are we all in agreement for the Bills trading up?
I'm fully on board.
Yeah, I think it's on the offensive side of the football personally, but I definitely think they will move up.
Yeah, so A.D. Mitchell is here, and they don't have a player like A.D. Mitchell on the roster.
A player at all to receive except Curtis
not
Daniel.
Really. So I think A.D. Mitchell's a great pick, but I mean, I'm using PFF for my mock, and on their big board, the top three players on the big board are corners, and they need a corner. So I'm torn.
It's just, I know, because you guys, like Nate Wiggins is, I really like Nate Wiggins a lot, but you know, A.D. Mitchell has potential to be a really, really good
receiver. They need someone for
yeah. They need, like, both of these are just huge positions
for Josh Allen to throw to. Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna go with A.D. Mitchell.
They need that alpha wide receiver one, losing Stephon Diggs. I love this fit.
I gotta agree. I think it's gotta be A.D. Mitchell, but I wouldn't be shocked if they, you know, invest in a corner if Nate Wiggins is available here.
Okay. Next up on the board, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Boy. Another team that really could do a lot. But, I mean, I look at their interior of their offensive line, and I'm not in love with it. They did take Cody Mock last year, but they have Ben Bredesen, Hainsey. I think that they could attack that there with JPJ or a Graham Barton. But, again, a lot of corners still on the board, so they could think about that too. They did lose Carlton Davis. I mean, not lost him, they traded him, but Carlton Davis is now in Detroit, so there's a lot that they could do here. I've always thought of Tampa as being kind of a best player available at 26, and a lot of times I give him a Laiatu Latu because Latu is there, but he's not in this scenario. So I'm curious what you guys think.
Well, like you said, best player available. I think it's either Nate Wiggins or Jackson Powers-Johnson. And, you know, he can play center. He can kick outside to guard even at the next level. But they also need a corner to replace Davis as well. And Nate Wiggins is possibly cornerback three, maybe cornerback four if you include DeJean as well. I'm just, like you said, it's like the Bills pick. It's just so hard to pick between them because I'm just torn in half. Because they can go, like, multiple ways. I think JPJ has the higher ceiling, but is not, you know, at a position that's, you know, a higher positional value. Obviously, corner is probably more important for the overall of the team. And just for solely that, I'm just going to go with Nate Wiggins or
Nate
Cooper
DeJean. Nate Wiggins. I'm in agreement here. I was going to say Nate.
Okay, we'll go with Nate Wiggins. Pittsburgh Steelers back up on the clock.
JPJ.
Really liking the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, position here. Obviously, JPJ is here. That was someone that most likely was in play at 20 before they traded back. You also have Cooper DeJean as well, and knowing the Steelers, knowing how their defense looks right now, knowing how they run their defense, they desperately need another outside guy to complement Joey Porter Jr. They desperately need a slot. Cooper DeJean is both of them. So you could go with that as well. But, I mean, right now, if the season were to start today, they would have Nate Herbig being their center. Nate Herbig has never played center in his life. So I think you need to get your guy. JPJ is that guy. He heads to Pittsburgh.
Yep.
I agree.
Is everyone in agreement? I mean, I totally agree. I clicked the button before I even asked you guys, but yeah.
I mean, I would have agreed 100%. I mean, maybe the second most sure offensive line prospect besides Joe Wall. It's just the fact that he plays center is why he dropped this low. If he played any other position on the line, he'd be going top 10.
Reminds me a lot of where Tyler Linderbaum went from Iowa a couple years ago.
I remember that, Jeff, because I really wanted Linderbaum to the Bears that year.
I remember also wanting the Steelers to get him as well, but the Steelers had a little too high of a pick. But in this scenario, they traded back into his area. So
okay.
And now the Packers are on the clock again.
I have to think Cooper DeJean or Graham Barton.
I was about
Barton.
To say, it's got to be either one of those two.
Ooh. You just signed Josh Jacobs. You invest all that money into signing a top-flight running back. I like Graham Barton right here.
I'm down with Graham Barton.
I'm down with Graham Barton as
down
well.
Down with Graham Barton. Next up, number 29, the Detroit Lions. And I think this is the first time I've really, at least I can't remember, a scenario where the Lions are up and they have the ability to draft Cooper DeJean. I feel like it has to be Cooper.
No brainer. It's got to be Cooper.
Got to be Cooper DeJean.
Yeah. All right. I will agree with that. At pick 30, though, I think we're going to see a couple trades in these last two or three picks end this first round. Starting at pick 30, I think the New England Patriots are going to call up the Ravens and try and come back into the first round.
For Penix?
No. For Xavier Worthy. Pair him with Drake May. That is dangerous.
I don't think they're going to. I think they need more.
They could sit there and get Xavier Worthy. So, because, I mean, Xavier Worthy is a good player, but I'm maybe not, you know, really high on him. I could see someone trading up for a quarterback, but, man, it's really
Raiders?
Up to you guys.
Raiders?
Kind of torn. The Raiders could be one. I know the Raiders really like Penix, and Penix is there. Do we want to pull the trigger on that?
Why not? Let's get crazy today.
Okay, so the Raiders will trade up. They're giving 44 and then probably 77 because they're jumping 14 spots for the Ravens. So we're going to make that trade happen. Raiders back up on the clock. Are we all in agreement? This
gotta
is for
be,
Michael Penix.
For quarterback, yes. Yeah.
It's for Penix. Penix heads to Vegas. Now the San Francisco 49ers on the clock here. You got Kool-Aid McKinstry. Got some receivers. I mean, there's some things that they could do at pick 31.
I love Kool-Aid McKinstry here. It's a really good player. Going very late in the first round. I think this should either be Kool-Aid McKinstry or an offensive tackle.
I mean, if you look at the offensive tackles that are left, I don't really think there's...
I think this needs to be a best player available position because their roster is already, you know, so solid that
exactly.
So I would lean towards Kool-Aid McKinstry here.
Yeah,
I think I agree as well.
It is a position of need as well.
Yeah. Last pick, Kansas City Chiefs.
It's got to be wide receiver Keon or Worthy.
I'm starting to really fall in love with the idea of Keon Coleman to Kansas City. I think Andy Reid, if anybody can coach him up into the player he could be. It's Andy Reid. Give him Pat Mahomes.
Okay. Let him cook. So which players are we on for them?
Worthy and Coleman.
I think it's got to be receiver here. So Worthy or Coleman, I think, would be the reasonable picks here.
This is a MSU podcast, so let's just have Keon Coleman go in the
Why
first
not?
Round.
Yeah. Why yeah. not? Let's add him on.
Why not? All right. So that'll be the mock. Something we haven't done. We've actually, I don't think we've ever like gone back through the mock and... talked
time.
About
why not
all the picks yeah. why not number why not? One number one Chicago Bears take in no surprise Caleb Williams
I
number,
think it's the real shocker
of real the shocker yeah.
yeah
number two the Commanders select LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels number three New England Patriots take North Carolina quarterback Drake May and a really great pick
he should be going number two
yes he should be going number
I
two
I just don't think it will happen
and if New England has the opportunity to take him at number three I think
you
that's
snatch him up right away
really a no doubter number four the Arizona Cardinals take Ohio State wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. one of the two best players in the draft they get at number four at a big position in need Kyler Murray loves this pick so
I'm sure he
Yeah,
I'm sure to be loved either one of Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Number five, the Minnesota Vikings trade up with the Los Angeles Chargers to draft Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. They get their guy. I would like to see them have him sit behind Sam Darnold for a bit and grow into that offense because that's a really good offense, and I think it's a really good scenario for J.J. to be in.
I feel like you don't give Darnold $10 million a year to not play him.
To back up,
to not be
yeah.
a bridge quarterback.
Yeah, so... That makes sense a lot
I
there.
I agree. I love that spot for J.J. McCarthy. You're getting him Justin Jefferson, who you are appeasing with through this pick, too. T.J. Hawkinson.
You're giving him Jordan Addison.
And you're giving him a good offensive line with Christian Darrison, Brian O'Neill as his tackles, like, and Kevin O'Connell as his head coach. This feels like a situation where I think J.J. will thrive. New for York, sure. I don't think he will.
For sure.
At least at the moment.
Speaking of New York, at number six, the New York Giants take LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers. Again, Malik Nabers is a top five player of the draft. They're able to grab him at number six. Really like that. Number seven, the Tennessee Titans, one of the most chalk picks in the entire first round. But a pick that makes so much sense. You give Will Levis more protection. The Titans take Notre Dame tackle Joe Alt at number 7. At number 8, the Chargers trade backup with Atlanta to grab Washington wide receiver Roma Dunze. At number 9, the Chicago Bears, with their second pick in the top 10, take Illinois' interior defensive lineman, Jerzon, also known as Johnny Newton. Really like that, honestly. Love him as a player.
He's an insane
Doesn't
player.
Have to switch colors.
Hometown kid, too.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense Match to me.
I know Chicago fans love their hometown kids.
For sure. Number 10, the New York Jets give Aaron Rodgers another weapon in Georgia tight end Brock Bowers. I mean, really love how that offense looks. Really is rounded out. I think Brock Bowers would be immediately one of the best 8 to 5 tight ends in the league if he has
a competent,
healthy Aaron Rodgers throwing to him. Like, it'd be really fun to watch there. Number 11, the Atlanta Falcons traded back with the L.A. Chargers to draft Florida State edge Jared Verse. Really like that pick for them. They could go really anywhere there with edge, but they pick up Jared Verse. Number 12, the Eagles jump up 10 spots to take Toledo cornerback Quinion Mitchell. Howie Roseman, really aggressive.
High flyer.
Really like this movie as a high flyer.
Most Howie Roseman move I've seen, though.
To move up all that spot, and it's... You like that aggressiveness because of how desperately they need to address the secondary. But at number 13, the Las Vegas Raiders take Penn State tackle Olafoshanu.
Good thing we had the Chiefs drafting a wide receiver.
Okay, Rashee Rice. Anyways, number 14, the New Orleans Saints take Oregon State tackle Talese Fuaga. Number 15, the Indianapolis Colts take LSU wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. Creates a really fun, really explosive receiver core and Colts offense there in Indianapolis. Number 16, the Seattle Seahawks take Washington tackle Troy Fontenot, someone who can play a lot of positions. Really like that there. Number 17, Jacksonville Jaguars gladly take Alabama corner Terrion Arnold at number 17. Number 18, the Cincinnati Bengals take Georgia tackle Amarius Mims. Number 19, LA Rams take Alabama edge Dallas Turner. Do you guys want to do the rest of these picks? I feel like it's just me talking.
No, I can't. Oh, no, I can help. Yeah, no. I was listening.
I didn't get the trades and stuff.
I want to analyze. I kind of want to analyze this a bit and see what our favorite picks, value wise, fit wise, schematic wise.
I mean, for me, I think the best value has to be Dallas Turner in 19.
That's
just insane value to get. You know, a guy who should be going potentially top 10. You can even make a case he's a top 8 player in this draft. And the best defensive player, I think, skill-wise in this draft. You can even make a case. And you get him at 19. That is just insane.
A player that could go number 8, you get at 19.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a great pick. I also have to highlight, Detroit Lions getting Cooper DeJean at 29.
It's also a
really good pick at a position need. He can move him all around that defense. Really like that pick. Byron Murphy at 21 as well. I like that, too.
My favorite pick in this entire first round, I love Adonai Mitchell to the A.D. Mitchell to the Buffalo Bills, Jackson Powers Johnson to your Pittsburgh Steelers, Jack. But the pick that really stands out to me in this first round is Brian Thomas to the Indianapolis Colts. I think that is just scary. That is going to strike fear into the DBs of the AFC South.
I mean, the Colts versus Texans rivaling the AFC South is going to be so good for years to come. I mean, both of those rosters are just built for success, not just now, but in the future as well. I mean, you talk about, the Texans have Diggs, Dell, and Nico Collins.
Yeah.
You have Pittman, Downs, and now you add Brian Thomas Jr. to that.
Now you have Calvin Ridley on the Titans.
Ridley on the Titans as well.
Hey, but you got Gabe Davis chilling in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and you got Jacksonville. Free Trevor.
Yeah.
That poor guy.
Yeah, I feel for him. Lucky, there. It's a very deep wide receiver class. There's guys I love like Ricky Pearsall in the second round. So I think that Jags have to consider that.
I do think the Jags will probably draft a receiver second round. I mean, they got
to
get.
They have to.
They have to get your franchise quarterback.
But they're going to be in a position where I wonder what wide receiver is going to be there, because I think you have a chance in that second round for. At least in this scenario, you're going to have, I think a Xavier Worthy is going to go before then. I think a Xavier Leggett's going to go before then.
Yeah.
I think a
even McConkey maybe.
McConkey will definitely go before then. So, and you think about Trevor, what he would want. I think Ricky Pearsall would be great. Sure-handed wide receiver. Quarterbacks love that, but yeah, I definitely agree. Jacksonville would have to look at a wide receiver in one of these top two, yeah, or three rounds.
At number 48, I think if you're getting a guy, I would say like Troy Franklin or Ricky Pearsall or even Tez Walker. It's for great value.
Troy Franklin.
He scares me a lot, especially with
Troy Franklin
hands.
At 48 would be fine. I think the Troy Franklin first round thing, I think it's over. I am not high on Troy Franklin.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's got the athleticism. It's just the route running scares me, and the hands scare me as well.
Yeah, like he's a deep threat that I say only ran like a 4.41. Doesn't have the best hands, isn't really that big. You would have to definitely line him up on the line of scrimmage where he's not going into press coverage, because I just don't think he has the size to, you know, keep up with that. But I think at 48, you would be cool with that, because he is a top 50 player. But
again, you can always, maybe even they trade up, you know, go get one of those early receivers in the second as well.
They could do that. They could take A.D. Mitchell, who I think is probably going to be there at 17.
Yeah. I think they could take A.D. Mitchell. I think they could even take Brian Thomas if he falls those two picks.
And again, there's just so much talent in this draft. I just can't wait till draft night.
Me too.
To see how it's going. We're going to try to maybe do a live draft for you guys soon on that day. We'll have to see. We'll let you guys know. But with that being said, it's been a great mock today.
It's been a long mock today.
A long mock. We finally had some extra time in the studio. Get some more analysis in here today. Well, that'll do it for now. We'll see y'all next week. Have a great, great week.
Yeah. Ooh.